The Mutineers' commander wore what looked like an ordinary, regular space service uniform, though Cecilia wasn't sure about the rank insignia. His name tag read, Admiral Minor Drige.
So, you're the one who killed Admiral Lepescu.
Actually, I didn't shoot him myself.
From the expression on the man's face, that didn't improve her situation.
Useless old woman. If it weren't for people like you, we would have our rightful place.
6 feet under and well tamped down.
But you'll learn. You'll learn what we're capable of.
Wasting time making pompous speeches?
Take him to the brig!
The commander waved his hand. The menacing Nems closed in. The brig was much as Cecilia had imagined military prisons. Cramped, bare, ugly, and uncomfortable. And secure. What she hadn't expected on a mutineer's ship was the number of prisoners crammed into the cells.
Why don't they just kill the loyalists? Or are their own personnel so troublesome?
The guards shoved her and Miranda into a 6-bunk cell with 8 other women, who stared at them with sullen suspicion. One was curled up, arms clasped around her knees. She had given them only a brief glance before putting her bruised face down again.
This is not what I had in mind when I suggested a trip for your health. Sorry.
Miranda looked around the cell, then at Cecilia, as if she couldn't believe what she'd heard.
I scarcely think...
I know it's not my fault, but I feel the need to apologize. There we were, supposedly safe from all alarms until we arrived, and then wham!
One of the women, whose pepper and salt hair was clipped close to her head, looked over at them.
What? Who are you? Where are we?
I'm Cecilia DeMarctos, and this is my friend, Miranda Meager. We were on our way to the Guerni Republic, and 2 hours into what should have been a safe jump, we were knocked loose and back into real space.
The woman leaned closer.
But where... Do you know where the ship is?
No. I got the course from a standard navigation package, and whatever knocked us out fouled up the drives and the navigation. When your captain picked us up, I thought we were being rescued.
No such luck.
No. And I feel it's entirely unjustified. We're private citizens.
Wait. Meager? Any relation to Brun Meager?
I'm her mother. Why?
And you're Cecilia DeMarcos. Aren't you that friend of Harris Serrano's, the one who shot Lepescu?
I didn't shoot Lepescu. Harris did. But I would have if I hadn't fainted.
But I thought you were old.
I am, but I rejuved a few years ago. Someone poisoned me, and it was the only way to full recovery.
I saw something about that. And it was after that you were with Commander Serrano at Xavier?
From the looks on their faces, they all knew about Harris Serrano.
Yes. I gather you're all loyalists.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just kill you?
Cecilia!
It is the operative question. She has to wonder if we're decoys or something, to sneak information out of you.
She grinned complicitly at Cecilia and stuck out her hand.
I'm Chief Jones, by the way, m'lady.
Call me Cecilia. Or damn it, Ceci, if you're in a hurry.
Right then. I'm not entirely sure why they haven't killed some of us, but some of us are serving as entertainment for their troops.
Jones nodded at the silent young woman huddled on the bunk, who hadn't yet looked up.
Besides the obvious, they seem to get a lot of fun taunting us about how stupid we were not to join them at the beginning.
I see. They must be pleasant to live with.
You could say that.
Does this place have a...
Head, m'lady? Just over there. It's not, flushable. Sorry.
That attempted humor passed Miranda by, Cecilia saw by the momentary horror on her face as she saw the stinking bucket.
They like this part best, I think.
She made no move to use the bucket, but instead held out her hand to Chief Jones.
Well, a fascination with excretion does define a certain kind of mind. Let's forget the whole ladyship business. I'm Miranda to my friends. And you look more like a friend than anyone I've seen on this ship yet, except Ceci.
Right, Miranda. You might as well get to know all the crowd.
Chief Jones pointed them out as she gave their names.
We have Sergeant Taraki, Gwen's our engineering specialist.
Gwen Taraki had a small, earnest face and the calloused hands of someone who used them for something other than pushing buttons.
She can fix about anything, or build something that works better. Then there's Sergeant Dirac. We call her Dusty, because her mother named her something no one can say. Who's a scan specialist.
You worked with Kutsudis, didn't you, Lady... I mean, Cecilia. Amazing man. I'm a total idiot. He taught the ones who could learn.
Petty Light Donaldson. Jerry's also a scan specialist. Petty Major Sifa Pilar was in charge of the repair section for communications and scan. Petty Light Kuras. Jin's a drive technician. So is Petty Light Hartung.
Jones glanced at the huddled figure.
Pivot and Sally Markham. She's here to keep us quiet. If we do something they don't like, they torment her.
How bad is she?
Physically? One day in a regen tank would help, but she's not in danger without it. Mentally, she's close to the line, if not over it. She was a nice kid, but one of those who really depended on all the rules. Now they're gone, and she's...
Chief Jones made a wavy motion with her hand. Cecilia glanced at Miranda, whose face was white. She realized that Miranda saw Brunn in that huddled figure. Brunn, who had suffered alone, far away from anyone who cared. She glanced back at Cecilia, and Cecilia nodded.
Miranda can at least sit with her.
Chief Jones nodded. Miranda merely looked at the space next to Anseli, and Pilar Sifa stood up. Cecilia fought her stubborn mouth and managed not to grin. Miranda sat down and somehow, without seeming to move, made an inviting curve of her arm. Still without looking up, Anseli leaned into it, her shoulders beginning to shake. Miranda leaned over her.
Mothers. I don't know how they do it, but I'm glad she's here. You're sure you don't have any idea where we are?
Cecilia glanced around the cell. Jones nodded.
All I know is what the emergency locator system told me. We're supposed to be a couple of jump points away from Copper Mountain, the closest inhabited system.
It's the commander's bucket.
Excuse me?
It's an academy thing, Sarah. Officers tend to pick places off the usual routes where they can rendezvous with friends. They call it their bucket.
Sounds like a recipe for conspiracies to me.
It certainly can be. But in my experience, young officers just like to feel they have something private, some secret. The Academy pushes them hard, turns them inside out. Probably most of them never use their bucket once they're well into their careers. Did your locator tell you whether the system has an Ansible?
It does.
Sometime later, there was no way to tell how much, two grinning guards entered the cell.
I think you fancy ladies should have the shit detail this time. Let's see now. Red or blondie?
Oh, I think both. Both of them need to learn a few basic skills.
Cecilia looked at Miranda, but could not read her expression beyond mild distaste.
Pick up the bucket. Each of you one hand. You'll both carry it.
The bucket stank and was within a few centimeters of overflowing. The round handle on the bale wasn't big enough for both their hands, having been intended for one-hand carries, and it was hard to grasp, part on, part off. The thinner bale dug into Cecilia's fingers. The bucket was heavier than she'd expected. They lifted together, but Cecilia was taller, and the bucket tipped slightly. A few drops spilled.
Messy, messy. You'll have to clean that up when you get back.
It was remarkably difficult, Cecilia discovered, to carry an almost full bucket with someone of a different height, someone whose rhythm of movement you didn't know. Harder when it was necessary to sidle through the half-open cell door. A trail of smelly drops followed them out of the cell, down the corridor.
Keep going, girls.
The guards fell in behind them. Cecilia's back crawled. She hated having people behind her like this anyway, and these... She concentrated on the slithery movement of the liquid in the bucket, trying to compensate for Miranda's movement with her own, trying not to spill. Another guard stepped out in front of them suddenly.
That's far enough!
One of the guards bumped into Cecilia. She lurched forward, and a splash of liquid filth hit the deck.
You're a clumsy bitch. Now you have more to clean up, Red.
It's not my fault. You pushed me.
Wrong answer, Red. Blondie, take your hand off the bucket.
Miranda let go, but slowly enough that Cecilia could take the weight of the bucket without spilling any more.
Blondie, turn to face the bulkhead. On the wall, you stupid civvy. Snuggle right up to it.
When Miranda stood, faced the wall, the guards surrounded Cecilia. One after another gave her a sharp nudge. She managed to stand balanced, not spilling any more.
You're going to clean it all up, Red, by yourself. And there'll be plenty to clean.
Instead of a nudge, this was a hard shove that sent her careening into one of the others who pushed her back. It took her hours to clean the floor to their satisfaction, with the single small rag they allowed. Meanwhile, Miranda struggled back and forth with the slop pails from the other cells, emptying them and scrubbing them clean. Her guards harassed her verbally but didn't make her spill anymore. Yet, Cecilia knew more harassment would come. Just when she thought they were finished, the guards told them both to clean the guards' latrine. They gave Miranda a little rag like hers and pushed them both into the latrine. It had two urinals, two stalls, four sinks, and a shower. That took another hour or so because the guards swore they had missed a speck here in this corner, or on top of that mirror, or behind that pipe. At the end of that first day, Cecilia hurt from her toes to the top of her head and all the way past her fingertips. Her knees were sore and her back hurt. Her hands were red and raw. Her bruises were darkening. Miranda looked tired too, her palms marked with the red lines of the bucket bales. But at least she hadn't had to crawl around on her knees all day.
But we're alive, and alive is better than dead. So far.
Supper was a meager bowl of some unflavored gruel, sipped without utensils from a plastic bowl which had to be handed back. Someone from another cell was brought out to wash the bowls afterward. Then the lights dimmed, and Chief Jones explained that they were allowed to sleep only during this shift, so 4 of the 10 had to sleep on the deck with barely room to stretch out.
We rotate bunk and floor assignments. Your number's 9 and 10, so I've redone the rotations. 6 nights out of 10, each person gets a bunk. 4 nights, the floor. What we did was put numbers in a pile and draw them out. What was left was yours. You're 4, Miranda, in the rotation, and Cecilia, you're 9. We're starting fresh, so that means Miranda has a bunk the next 4 days. Cecilia, you have the floor.
But she worked harder.
Chief Jones cocked an eye at Cecilia.
That's all right. I'm tired enough to sleep on anything.
Good.
Despite what she'd said, Cecilia found the floor hard and unforgiving, with a nasty, cold draft. No matter what position she lay in, something hurt, mostly a fresh bruise. She dozed off and on, but it was nothing like a real rest. Cecilia realized that she had finally achieved something like real sleep when she was rudely awakened by a guard with a bucket.
Rise and shine! Get off those racks, you shitbirds!